Question 102. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The story in John 9 starts out simply, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Who could know the ramifications that were to follow? Interrogations, excommunications, families split, traditions challenged, men of high esteem publicly held in jaundiced scrutiny, and one soul's destiny changed from eternal separation from God to the very life of God himself springing up within him. The items of interest that day were many, but one is of particular advantage to investigate. Do you believe on the Son of God? Here Jesus cuts through all the hoopla of the day and asks a simple question. One can learn a great deal from reading what's written in Scripture, and one can also learn from what's missing as well. Is it not interesting that Jesus did not go into the same discussions with this man or give him the answers to the questions that the Pharisees asked him? He didn't ask how he felt about working or worshiping on Sabbath. He didn't try to prepare him for his future by stuffing his head full of church language and doctrine. He didn't tell him to rush out and purchase a copy of the Scriptures so to arm himself against all the power of the enemy. He just needed to know one thing. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? It's obvious at every turn that the religion of Jesus is not the religion that is practiced in mainstream Christianity. Why is that? Could anyone stretch their understanding of what they read in Scriptures to think that the Apostle Paul was a Southern Baptist? Or that there was any similarity in the Apostle Peter and the Pope? Though many try to claim that the authority of their faith or denomination goes back to the Apostles, there are few who would grant admission to one who preaches like Paul into their ranks, much less make him a minister among them. If Jesus taught so vehemently against tradition, why do we insist on propagating it? If Jesus taught against costumes to impress people, why do we continue to dress our pastors and priests in showy garb as if they were magicians or sorcerers? Even the denominations that do not robe their pastors are not all free from this accusation, as they dress them in the finest and would be appalled to see them wear simple or even sensible attire to preach. If Jesus taught against making long public prayers, why do we do it? If he condemned repeating ourselves and asking for things that God already knows we need, why do we continue this practice? I contend it's because we do not truly and simply believe on the Son of God. If we place our faith in church, we will go there to make inquiries to how we should live, and there we will receive our guidance. If we believe in church, we will do what pleases the church. If we place our faith in the pastors, it is there that we will go for guidance and leadership, because it is those men we seek to please. Similarly, if we place our faith or believe on the Son of God, we will do what he says. If we do what he says, he will love us, and the Father will love us. He can reveal the Father to us. If the Father's been revealed to us, we are far from the worry of being led astray or being led about by every wind of doctrine. We're far from being oppressed by the church's rules and governments, or being lorded over by its leaders. We have nothing to fear if we place our faith in Jesus Christ alone and seek to worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus found this blind man who would not let go of what he knew to be true. Thrown out of the traditional place of worship, and by himself alone, however, still rejoicing over his newfound sight, Jesus asked, Do you believe on the Son of God? The man responds, "Who is he? So that I may believe on him." Jesus answers all of his questions and tells him that he is the one on whom to believe. So he does, and worships him. If we hold to what has been revealed to us, rather than just what has been taught to us by others, we will be as this man was, sure and believing, strong and of convincing testimony, able to stand before interrogating men of religious stature, and able to say, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." When we hold to the revelation of Christ within us, we will invariably find that it goes against the structures and institution man has made to understand God. Operating and living under our own revelations will fly in the face of those who make themselves to be purveyors of all things religious. If we hold to the faith revealed to us, we will find we share with this blind man more than an encounter with Christ. We may find ourselves ostracized as well. With the exception of Quakers, I know of no other faith that will let a man go on his journey, giving guidance where needed and requested, yet letting him find his own way with God. When this ideal works as intended, it's the way all Christian communities should be. Everywhere I go, I meet those who feel they're being called away from the folly and irreverence of modern churchianity. Even the youngest in the Lord feel that there's something drastically wrong with this institution. Unfortunately, by the time the problem can be discovered, relationships are made, fears are implanted, and our respects and allegiances altered, and the traditions have taken full hold. These new in Christ, over time, become elders, lured away from their original and simple faith in Christ, and are fully engaged in the convincement of others to the new faith. Weaned from the Savior as source, these fledglings will soon look to men and the church as source, and the problem continues. The Christian life is as simple as, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" and simultaneously as complex as, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" Well, what about it, friend? Is your faith in men? Is your faith in your church? Is your faith in a strict obedience to laws of man's making, rules of organization, codes of conduct, traditions of your denomination? Or do you believe on the Son of God? Is he real enough to you to tell you what is missing in your life or what needs to be added? Is he all you need for a peaceable and fruitful life? Do you seek or need the approval of men and the acceptance of large groups to have confidence in your relationship with God? Or can you have the kind of faith that can withstand being all alone? What about it? Do you believe on the Son of God? Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" You see, Jesus went searching for him. You may be one who has given up on religion. You may be one who has had your hope of reaching out and finding God crushed by the merciless and hypocritical leadership of the modern church. Never stop seeking Christ, for if you're his, he's seeking you. If Jesus indeed has touched you, and your understanding of who he is has caused the demise of your fellowship with the traditional church, I have good news for you. Jesus is looking for you. He wants to ask you a question. He wants to ask you, "Do you believe on the Son of God?"